me, on the east side are in danger from development pressures and also neglect from the unintended consequences of a punitive design review process for homeowners. Not addressing this issue will mean no more historic districts in Portland. Many cities have lost or torn down their historic neighborhoods and have regretted it. Let's not do something we regret. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Welcome.
Good morning. Barb Christopher, Chair of the Historic Irvington Preservation Committee. In November 2010, 5 years, thousands of hard fundraised dollars, and hundreds of volunteer hours culminated in the creation of the Irvington Historic District, the largest such National Register district in the state and one of the largest in the nation. Unlike previous historic district nominations in Portland, this effort was entirely led and funded by the citizens whose properties make up the district. The Irvington District is a streetcar neighborhood from the original era of streetcars. It's an organic, historically grown 20-minute neighborhood that was decades in the making. This historic resource is the envy of other cities. The Irvington Historic District brought more than 2,800 individual properties under the city's historic design review umbrella, with a remarkable 85% considered to be contributing resources. Unlike the current Buckman situation, the Irvington nomination process faced almost no organized opposition. Now, however, the existence of the district is becoming a polarizing thing in the neighborhood as never before. The Bureau of Development Services' current historic design review fee structure and process are at the root of this new opposition. In 2007 and 2008, when Irvington volunteers were going door-to-door, surveying, photographing, and talking to neighbors, the minimum BDS fees for historic design review for a Type 2 project stood at $574. Additional fees from other bureaus came in at a minimum of $238, bringing the total to $812. Today, a mere 4 years later, the same project could face fees of over $1,700 and go up from there. Staring down a potentially 100% higher fee, even the most preservation-minded citizens within the Irvington District are questioning the benefits of being a historic district, while others are outright ignoring the design review process. This is not an answer for a place that likes to call itself the city that works. As with the district nomination project 5 years ago, Irvington decided to take the bull by the horns and look for solutions. First, we gathered historic design review fee data from more than 40 other American cities, as large as Houston and as small as Portland, Maine. Next, we looked at nearly 20 Oregon cities. Nationwide, none even came close to the fees currently being applied in Portland historic districts. Many charged no design review fee at all. We have also gathered data on the fees collected during our first year as a historic district. Of the 100 or so such reviews conducted citywide, Irvington constituted about a third of the total. Not surprising given the size of the district. What was surprising to us was the inequity we discovered in the fee structure. A small project involving only two basement egress windows faced BDS fees of over $1,000. A large new infill project to build two complete attached houses only paid $3,460. Even a solid research-based project designed to restore a lost historic porch racked up BDS fees of over $1,000.
Ma'am, your time is up. I gave you an extra minute. If you could wrap up.
If you're a property owner in a historic district, there's simply no way to look at this and see fairness. If you're a city that believes that historic preservation is a tool for sustainability, economic development, and livable neighborhoods, you have to find a better way. We'd like to work with council and BDS and BPS to help do that. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Kathy, welcome.
Good morning. I'm Kathy Galbert from the Bosco Milligan Foundation, and as you've heard, the issue of BDS fees for historic design review is on the critical list. We're the organization sponsor of the Buckman National Register Historic District, and thousands of hours of professional and other volunteer time have been invested in that effort as the neighborhood has tried to put the tools in place to deal with the next wave of development that is undoubtedly coming. But instead, we are stuck on the financial impacts on homeowners of the exorbitant fees charged for the lower end of projects. The difference between $1,050, which is the minimum BDS fee, and our proposed minimum of $250 for the smaller projects is an enormous amount of money for a homeowner, but it's really an incidental difference for the city in the bigger picture. We know you've adopted a policy of covering the costs of actual reviews through your application fees, and that's an important point. The smaller projects take the least amount of review and staff time. They should be processed as Type 1 reviews, And we also know that this will lighten the staff burden through the use of checklists for the simpler projects. We think we should stay with a flat 5% fee for the larger Type 3 projects, the ones that really do take up the staff time. And the end result is, by eliminating that Type 3 cap that's currently in place, that our proposal is revenue neutral. If we're serious about the public goals related to equity, we should be making it easier and more affordable for homeowners and other property owners to spend their limited funds on actual preservation work and not on the fees paid to have it reviewed. One final point, the Landmarks Commission report calls out our cornerstones work done by myself and our organization since 1994 related to African American historic buildings throughout the city. Yes, we are losing those buildings at an alarming rate. If we are serious about our goals of equity, we do need to remove the public obstacles to preserving the identified heritage of all communities, including the unprotected buildings of the African American community. When a Landmarks designation application fee is over $3,000, coupled with the onerous design review fees, there's really not much incentive for property owners to want to pay for the pleasure of being regulated. Historic preservation is a social justice issue, and these resources stand throughout the city. Thank you.
Thank you, Kathy. Welcome.
Yes, good morning. I'm Denise McGriff, and I have the pleasure of representing the state of Oregon on the National Trust for Historic Preservation's Board of Advisors. The trust is very active in Oregon through providing matching grants to communities from Astoria to Baker City. But closer to home, the trust is working with and providing funding to our local partner, the Bosco Milligan Foundation, and our statewide partner, the Historic Preservation League of Oregon. The trust supports the recommendations that you heard today by the Landmarks Commission board and staff. When Portland's older buildings and neighborhoods are torn down and allowed to deteriorate, a part of our past disappears forever. When that happens, we lose the history that helps us know who we are, and we lose opportunities to live and work in the kinds of interesting and attractive surroundings that older buildings can provide. Preservation is about investing in our older, historic residential neighborhoods and our commercial corridors. We urge you to support the Commission's efforts. And for our final point, remember that this place does matter. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Carla, could you please call the next four?
Our Greg Mollett, Susan Lindsay, Jeffrey LaRoche, and Danny DeAust.
Good morning and welcome. Sir, would you like to start us off?
Sure. My name is Greg Mollier, and I organize the opposition to the proposed Buckman Historic District. I collected over 80 notarized objections from property owners in the area in an afternoon. And I just would like to say, as many other people have said, unless there are dramatic changes to the historic design review process and fees, also making the process less subjective, I believe a majority of property owners within the district will not support a historic district. I do have a question for the City Council. I've heard a number of Buckman residents express concerns that Portland intends to dramatically increase the zoning in residential Buckman and turn Buckman into the next Pearl. I was hoping Council could comment on that. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. My name is Jeff LaRochelle. A little background is I'm a new homeowner in Irvington. And while I certainly appreciate older buildings and the ambience they add, I do have some concerns. We bought our house with the goal of hopefully putting a porch onto our Craftsman house, a Craftsman style porch, of course, in character with in period. But I was told in a preliminary review by the staffer at the BDS that because it wasn't an original part of the house, it would not really have any chance of being approved. And so I'd like the council and the Landmark Commission, who are in the process of reforming this process, to reflect on the motivation behind the policy and the ordinance that actually establishes the rules. Is the policy really for the character of the neighborhood and the benefit of those living in these neighborhoods, or is it really for the benefit of those who may have a more puritanical view of historic preservation? I think most in the neighborhood that I've spoken with directly do not have any idea of the strictness of the ordinance that is used to determine whether a project can go forward or not. They agreed, based on the goal of preserving the character of the neighborhood, to the extent that they participated in the process at all. Of course, there was no direct vote of each property owner. I think the ordinance, as it's worded, can be seized on by those who would potentially treat the neighborhood as a museum and act as a curator with power of approval or denial based on their aesthetic tastes. I think I would ask why the ordinance didn't just say no changes allowed to the front of the house, which is a fact how it can be applied. And I think that would be because people wouldn't agree to those regulations of that strictness. I think the remedy would be from changing the language to that puts more of an emphasis on the character and not the neighborhood, not the historical purity of the structure itself. Also allow direct participation of neighborhoods who would be most directly affected by the project. To those who would say, well, if you don't like these rules, don't live in a historic neighborhood, I could say that the awareness of the strictness of the ordinance and the boundaries is not well understood by those who live in this area. And also, to those who say allow the participation of the neighbors might dilute the historical integrity, I say that's fairly elitist and undemocratic. We should all remember that a city is primarily its people, and the buildings play a supporting role. And if I may quote Albert Camus, the philosopher and Nobel Prize winner, people shouldn't serve houses. Houses should serve people. Thank you for the chance to talk.
Thank you, sir. Welcome.
Good morning. My name is Danny Doust. I also live in the Irvington District. I'd like to thank the council for the time. I'm happy to see that the Historic Landmark Commission understands some of the difficulties that homeowners are facing, and also thank them for the effort that they're putting in our communities. We moved here in Portland 4 years ago, myself and my family, two small children. And we chose Portland specifically for the sense of community that we have in Portland and the sense of community also that we find specifically in Irvington. It's a beautiful community. There's beautiful trees, beautiful homes, and this is particularly why we chose this community. Now I find myself in the middle of a historic district that is much more restrictive than we were told it would be by the people that initiated the process. We're in a large community now of 2,800 homes that are found to be in the historic district, and there is a lot of people up in arms against this process. Personally, I'm trying to go through a remodel with the city, and we are trying to grow into our house with having dormers to the front of the house. Now we're being told that is impossible. Through the rules that we find in the city code. Another point I wanted to bring is the changes to the fees for small changes such as windows is great, because a $1,000 fee for changing your front window to me seems restrictive. But we have to also realize that even larger changes to, let's say, a dormer to the back of the house that is not even visible from the front, is the city's applying fees that are multiples, and when I say multiples, up to 10 times more than anywhere else in the country. Finally, I'd like to detail why there was maybe no opposition initially in Irvington. Nobody in Irvington realized, and maybe even we were a bit misinformed about how the city was applying these rules. Nobody in Irvington would have voted for this or would have agreed to this if they knew that the fees were this high and also that no changes were allowed to the front of our properties. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Susan, welcome.
Good morning. I'm Susan Lindsay, chair of the Buckman Community Association. I don't have any prepared notes. I just wanted to say that I appreciate the intent of the current design review fees is to have a zero cost recovery system, to have it pay for itself. What I would like to say is, being the chair of the association and looking at this problem of the process of trying to create a historic district within a segment of Buckman, that time and time again the issues of the fees and the process around it, some questions about the ambiguity of the process has been a concern of many of the residents. Buckman is not, as you know, it's not a wealthy neighborhood. It's the original seat of the town of East Portland, which is, if you think of it, it's really Portland's first suburb. It's a historic suburb. And much of that, the original houses that were closest to the river, of course, are all gone and in the industrial area. But there remains east of 12th Avenue some rich historic resources in the structures. However, it's an area of working class people, and many of the properties are rentals and inhabited by a lot of young people that have moved here to Portland. It's a very vibrant neighborhood. It's a great neighborhood. However, it suffered from a lot of the zoning changes that took place a number of years ago, where many of the edges of Portland were upzoned and allow sort of high density. And there's been a very tough time during good times to preserve some of these beautiful houses. And during this process, I believe we've come together to say that we really, as a neighborhood, we want a consensus on this, because we do want to be able to preserve these houses, but we can't abide by, in terms of equity, this fee structure and this process. And I know that the city is committed to this process through the New Portland Plan of looking at issues of equity, and this really is an issue of equity. And I urge you to, and I know how dollars are, and that what you were trying to do at BDS was try to get it to pay for itself. But there must be a way to streamline it, or to be able to subsidize it somehow, so that we can preserve these important historic districts, not only in wealthy neighborhoods. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
President Fischer, I just wanted to comment and answer to your question about. Mayor Adams would be the one to be able to answer that, since he's in charge of the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability. Any zoning changes will follow on after the Portland plan, and there'll be a full public process. I don't know of anything in particular that's been envisioned for Buckman or for any other neighborhood. There will be a full public process, so not coming down the pike next week.
Okay. When did you say that was?
We're going to be adopting the Portland plan in a few months, and then after that, the Planning and Sustainability Commission will start working on follow-up to make sure that it gets implemented. Okay. Thank you.
Carla, would you call the final names, please?
The last three are Linda Nedekoven and Ben and Mary.
Do Ben and Mary have last names?
No.
Linda?
Gleason?
Stage is yours, Linda.
Well, in the interest of time and moving things along, I'll be very brief. I'm Linda Nedekoven. I'm vice chair of the Hosford Abernathy Neighborhood Association, not speaking on behalf of anyone but myself this morning. Our neighborhood also includes an historic district, Ladd's Addition, which is perhaps about a quarter of our geographic area. I want to first commend the Landmarks Commission and the staff for all the work they've already put into this complicated issue, and appreciate the direction in which they're going. Our neighborhood for a long time has been very concerned about the equity dimension of historic preservation. We're a funny mix of things, a neighborhood that's been feeling development pressures and gentrification, at the same time trying to be working very hard to keep it mixed income and not see it go, all one direction, shall we say. We have, for example, over 200 houses, the last time we looked, say 500 years ago, that are century homes south of Division, which means zoning and the R1 and R25 categories, a lovely fabric of workforce housing that we would like to maintain, because it's the affordable housing in our neighborhood. It has no kind of protection or support or reinforcement of any kind from the sort of historic and sustainability realm. And then you have Ladd's Addition, where people have been complaining for some time about the fees. I'd also like to stress, I think we've hit a tipping point. I work with contractors who are very committed to historic preservation, who report that people aren't going for permits. They aren't following the proper steps because things have gotten so expensive. And that's not the direction we want to head. Two issues that I'd just like to have folks consider in looking at solving these larger historic preservation questions. Old houses are notorious for surprises, where you are in the middle of something and you find a tremendous crisis or opportunity, and how we can sort of turn on a dime and be able to figure out how the guidelines apply when something isn't what you expected once you tear into a house. And I don't know actually how that is handled, but I hear neighbors telling stories that we just looked the other way and covered it up and did it. The other issue is, please don't lose track of cultural resources, the plant materials. Think of park blocks, think of Peninsula Park, the parts of our neighborhood that are historic for other than just kind of architectural reasons. And it would be good if the forester could perhaps be involved in some of those conversations with BDS and the planning Bureau of Planning and Sustainability, so that we all are on the same page in terms of those cultural resources. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Linda. Any further council discussion? Do I entertain a motion to adopt the report?
We have a substitute memo on this.
Okay. We'll first take up a motion to substitute the memo.
So moved.
Second.
Please call the roll.
Fritz.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Fish.
Aye. The substitute is adopted. Is there a motion to adopt the report?
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Carla, would you please call the roll?
Fritz.
Well, thank you, everyone, for all of your hard work on this, the commission, the staff, and citizens. It's really delightful to see the engagement. And, yes, it's over some controversy. And it is important for us to make sure that there is the equity piece in historic preservation, because I didn't hear anybody say that we don't want to preserve the character of our neighborhoods. We're talking about the fees and how to do that. And it really highlights how the zoning code and how what it says and how it's implemented and how we pay for implementing it really matters. So I'm very committed to continuing this process. I'm glad to hear Commissioner Saltzman committing to work on it also. And I believe we can get to a place that everybody will be satisfied with. Again, thank you, especially citizens who took the time to come down on a Wednesday morning to highlight these issues, and the members of the commission who do it day in, day out, practically. I know that you're in City Hall often and also do a lot of good work in your commission meetings. So thank you. Aye.
Saltzman.
Well, I want to thank the Historic Landmarks Commission and their staff for all the hard work you've done, as you've outlined in your annual report. And as I said in my opening remarks, we take very seriously the issues that are raised here about the affordability of complying with the historic design guidelines. And the Bureau of Development Services staff and the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability staff are already scoping out potential solutions. And we hope to have a draft work plan produced in the next month or so. As was noted by Susan Lindsay, you know, the Bureau of Development Services is a fee-supported agency almost entirely. I think we maybe get 2% of our budget from the general fund. So the key to reducing the cost of getting permits is to reduce the amount of time our staff have to process them. And that's why we're looking at the changes mentioned about doors and windows. Why do we, you know, do we exempt things that are in the back, or do we exempt window changes altogether, or make them type one reviews? Anyway, so we're looking at ways to simplify the process and therefore to also reduce the cost. I will not hold out much hope that the council is going to subsidize with scarce general fund dollars this review process. I wouldn't rule that out entirely, but this is not a good time to be asking for additional general fund money for the Bureau of Development Services. So thank you all. Aye.
Leonard?
I am want to bounce off Commissioner Saltzman's remarks. I'm particularly interested in and, if not, intrigued by the issues facing Irvington, a district that I was born and raised in. And am as familiar as anybody in this room with the buildings within that district. I'm deeply concerned about the issues raised by Susan Lindsay and the others at Buckman. But I think it's important for the folks here to understand the dilemma that the council has found itself increasingly over the last two decades with respect to the revenue that we get to support city services that were traditionally less expensive than they are now. With the passage of Measure 5 in 1990, the passage of Measure 47, and then which became Measure 50 in 1995 or 6, the tax structure of the state of Oregon in general, but in the case that we're dealing with here specifically, the city of Portland in particular, has changed dramatically. So I would be shocked if you called around the United States and talked to other development departments and found fees that were as expensive as Portland's, because we have restricted the amount of general fund revenue to cities and schools in this state to the point that it's absurd. We have in the neighborhood I grew up in, Urbanton Grade School, I still take my grandson there to play basketball, and at times I'm embarrassed by the state of the school that I grew up in. Grant High School, where I went to high school, similarly, I drive by Franklin every day. I'm embarrassed at the condition of the high school my mother graduated from. I drive by Cleveland, which used to be, Susan, help me out. I know you know the name of Cleveland. Remember the name of Cleveland before it was Cleveland? Thank you, Commerce. My dad graduated from Commerce. I go down there and use the track regularly to run. Beautiful track. The condition of the school is embarrassing. These are all the effects of the passage of Measure 5, Measure 47, and Measure 50. So the upshot is that we're left with a Bureau of Development Services that at one time was heavily subsidized here by the city, by the general fund, so the fees that you would pay would not be as high as they were. But, you know, nothing is for free. The money that was used to pay the staff partially came from the general fund, which now finds itself shrunk to the place where we're debating possibly closing a community center, where we're debating not whether or not we're going to close the fire station or whether we're going to close one or four, whether we're debating laying off up to 50 police officers. And so we find ourselves at a place where at the Bureau of Development Services, when I was in charge of that, because of the fee structure and the virtual collapse of building activity in this community after 2008, I had to, along with Paul Scarlett, meet with 150 people out of 300 and explain to them why we had to lay them off. Half of the people at the Bureau of Development Services were laid off, staggered over a period of months because we couldn't do it all at once. Devastating consequences. So we find ourselves here having this discussion where you're saying the fees are too high, and Commissioner Saltzman is precisely right when he says, you cannot ask us to use general fund dollars that we use to fund parks and community centers and fire and police and other vital important services to subsidize building applications. What we can do is what Commissioner Saltzman and I know Paul Scarlett is fully focused on, is look at ways to streamline and more quickly approve applications for minor projects, thus reducing the cost. I think that makes a lot of sense. I will say that, you know, to the one testifier from Urbanton who commented about wanting to remodel the porch. I don't know that I disagree with you, but the rules are what the rules are, and I can tell you that as a person now who finds myself entering the housing market, looking back at the historic neighborhood I grew up in and looking in Buckman and other close-in neighborhoods, that your housing prices are good for you, bad for me. They, believe me, are higher than any of the outlying areas, and I can tell you this as recently as last night. I look at each new listing as they come up in the historic areas of the city. If it's any solace to you, whatever you do to your house, even if it costs more in terms of permits and there's more restrictions on the front of the house, it appears that you'll more than gain that when you sell your house from the listing prices that I have seen. I wished I lived in a neighborhood that enjoyed that phenomena. I live in a neighborhood that is enjoying the opposite phenomena. So there are some downsides to being in a historic neighborhood. There are some high costs, but I believe particularly in the example of Buckman and Irvington, they can be viewed more as investments than they are outright expenses. Having said that, I will work very hard with Commissioner Saltzman and Director Scarlett to do what we can to streamline the process to keep the actual amount of our staff focuses on these issues to a bare minimum, maybe that way to get the cost down. Thank you. Aye.
Fish.
I want to echo what my colleagues have said and thank the commission and the staff for their excellent report today. I think this is the third annual we've had, and we really appreciate it. In the interest of time, I would just put three issues on the record, and I can follow up with you. One is I'm interested in, from your report, why you believe that the 511 building and Memorial Coliseum are still on the threatened and endangered resource list.
Because I'm still on the council.
So in light of the plans, council come to order. In light of the Susan, help me, please. This, you deal with it. So do I. In light of the Pacific Northwest plan to renovate and use Brad Klofel to do the design for 511, I'm just curious why that still is listed as a threatened or an endangered resource, and that's the building kitty corner from the Bud Clark Commons, and also why the Memorial Coliseum is listed, since a majority of this council, I'm pleased to say, supported preserving that icon of American design. I'm curious as to that point. Second, I learned recently that a group called the Halperin Conservancy is interested in seeking National Register nomination for Lawrence Halperin's masterwork, which runs from in front of Keller Auditorium South. That's something that the Parks Bureau will support, so we look forward to working with the commission to see how we can facilitate that and fast-track that. And third, one area that I don't think gets enough attention in terms of preserving historic structures is the success we've had preserving multifamily buildings downtown that are historic. And Tracy Manning, the new director of the Portland Housing Bureau, and I would be delighted to accept an invitation to come before the commission and talk about our 11 by 13 campaign. But recently, for example, we've been able, with community support, to save the Admiral, which is both a historic structure and is deeply affordable, and that's across from Director Park. So a wonderful statement about our community that we have that juxtaposition. Those are historic structures that we want to preserve, and we'd like to engage the commission on that strategy. Congratulations for your good work, and thank you for a very thought-provoking presentation. And I always love Commissioner Leonard's history lessons. As someone who did not grow up here, it adds to the richness of our discussions. Aye.